think most spouses feel about their time living that active duty military life. They don't feel like it's wasted, but it definitely just veered them from where they may have chosen to go otherwise. And I guess this is a good way for me to remind them, those that come to Military Creator Con, right, is to be able to say, hey, you have value, and that value is within you. And let me show you how you can harness it and kind of intentionally move it forward to build what you want to build.
At MilitaryCreatorCon.com.
Great XQ. Roger, over.
We are back. What an exciting time here getting ready for Military Creator Con 2026. My name is Travis, and I have another guest. They've all been great, and I cannot wait to talk to my next one, Anna Larson, who does a whole lot with military spouses. Welcome to this conversation. I'm excited to meet you, and I can't wait to hear what you've got going on for us.
Well, thank you, Travis. I'm excited to be here today.
So the military spouse, Anna, you know, I would meet them at the PX and MCS Yuma, and or I would you know, be walking by the road and have to salute the car because they were driving the car. I'm like, they've got the easy life. They don't have any, they've got it made, you know, they've got it made. They get all the respect and, you know, privileges as an officer, you know, or staff NCO with none of the headaches. And I have to tell you, Anna, I've found out over time just how adjusted my perspective needed to be, if you will. But it just brought me to, as we're sitting here, and I'm thinking back to my time in Yuma, a lot of people do not know what the military spouse experience is, even to this day. And so kind of take us through how you got immersed into mil spouse advocacy and what that means to you.
Yeah, absolutely. So first of all, I love that your perspective has changed, because I was thinking to myself, wow, those were some lucky spouses that encountered you and your attitude about the way they should be treated. But for me, the advocacy work, I've been a military spouse for 2 decades, you know, followed my service member around all over the world. We lived, you know, 7 different duty stations, all the things military spouses do.
And you still love him. You still love him?
I do, believe it or not. I know. That's one of the first questions, like, and you're still together? Yes, we are.
Nice.
So about 5 years ago, when he decided to retire out of active duty Army life, I wasn't prepared for that. It was the middle of COVID, and I'm like, nope, first of all, we're in Texas, and you promised me one more duty station. This is not where we're ending our career at. Second, I'm not ready for this. Like, we talked about one more thing, right? And so it just was this conversation.
Well, if I may, what was it like having him home full time for the first time ever, Anna? What was that like?
It was actually very difficult. It was hard. It was, well, so here's the thing about military life, right? We live in this constant movement where if we're not in an actual PCS move, we're planning for the next one. We're getting settled into where we're at, knowing it's a temporary situation. And that constant movement creates a need for routines in order for there to be stability. And so when that routine gets not just like slightly twitched, but destroyed by something like COVID, where your spouse is calling in at 5:30 a.m. and then at 7 they're still at the house, and there's no PT and there's no work to go to, or they're doing something like just occasionally, then it was really disruptive to try and figure out, what are we doing and what are you doing with your time? And if you're not helping me with the routines, then you're just in my way a little bit. But we survived that part of it. But it did lead to him saying, I'm 24 and a half years in, almost 25, and I think I'm done. And I think for him, it's just the idea of putting his boots back on and that uniform back on and doing another, you know, however many decades worth of work after that COVID experience, it wasn't something he wanted to do anymore. So it kind of shattered those golden year plans that we had planned out with each other, the where we're going to go and how this is going to look and how easy it's going to be and how great it's going to be when we're finally together all the time. And so that transition was the catalyst for me starting to do military spouse advocacy work. And I specifically focus on military spouses who are going through transition. So exiting active duty life in whatever way that might be, whether it's retirement or separation or divorce, Gold Star families, all of those kinds of things is where I really try and put my energy and effort. Because what I realized is that after 2 decades, at least for me, for as much time as we spend living the military life, we are not employed by the DOD, but we live that same experience just from a different perspective. And I hadn't realized until we were leaving that how much my identity was tied to that kind of that military world, that military connectedness, my service members' job, my PCS moves, the where I'd been, explaining away my career gaps because of military life, and all of that was now going away, community. And there was nothing available for the spouse. I mean, sure, we're invited as a plus one to tap, but really, where does that get us as a spouse into transitioning well into civilian life? And so that's kind of where,
That's the thing, as I learned about, what you were bringing to Military CareerCon 2026, the thought process kicked in. I'm like, wait a minute, there's all this focus on like my experience or any other person getting out. But what is that spouse supposed to do when, I've got to go to either back home or to a new place and build my life all over again? And you mentioned, and some spouses do, that they put their lives and their careers on hold for their spouse, and they've got to retool that as well. And this really kind of changes them. What did you find when you started, advocating in this space then, Anna?
I found that my story was not unique. I found that many, many spouses felt we go through transition with almost this mindset of it's another PCS move, and when I'm on the other side, then I'll sort it all out, which is kind of what you do in PCS, right? We'll figure out what we're going to do once we get there. The problem is with transition is once you get to the other side, any benefit or programs, the majority of them are no longer available to you because you are no longer, not even technically, from the DOD side of things, you're not even really a military spouse anymore. You're just a straight up civilian. And there's some great VSOs that will support veteran military spouses, but they're few and far between. And so when you put on hold all of this preparation for transitioning, and this could be anything from career guidance to mental health support to financial understanding, all of those kinds of things, when you put it off and it becomes too late at some point. And that's jarring for spouses who have always had this community to rely on, and now it's no longer available because you don't count anymore, really, is what it comes down to.
Now, I didn't want to make any assumptions, but are you a mother?
I am. I have 2 children. Yes.
So for me, a lot of us, service members, we're worrying about our career, our time, our stuff, because you're right. The DOD definitely cares about what we do and do not do. Mm-hmm. But not only do you have your feelings, emotions, and uncertainties going on, a lot of times, well, almost all the time, you're managing what your children are going through. What was that like for you during your husband's time?
So because we did go into it treating it kind of like another PCS, it was a conversation with the kids about here's the plan, right? I mean, they didn't really have any input. And I wish we had given them more input and more understanding, but that's when you look in hindsight, I wish kind of comments.
Sure.
But we did talk about where do we want to move to, because where we had always planned to go, which is back to Oregon, which is where both my spouse and I are from, wasn't really an option for us at that point in time. And so the kids said, well, we like it where we're at right now, Texas, which was not the plan ever. And I mean, listen, I've been here for 5 years now and it's home. But at the time, Texas was not the plan. And so it was kind of like, okay, I guess we'll call this our short-term 10-year plan to get the kids out of school and into college, and then we'll figure it out from there. And I think what the hardest part was is that when that first PCS season rolled around and we were no longer part of it, and my kids lost all their friends because they were moving, that was another one of those moments where I'm like, I didn't even think about this being something we would have to deal with. Now we're the ones staying put. Everybody else is going, and my kids were lost. They're like, everybody's leaving. All our friends are going. And usually there was that, we're going too, or we're going next year, so it didn't matter, and we're going to find new friends where we end up. And I'm like, no, this is it, guys. We said we're staying here, and here we are. So there was a lot of that, you know. I mean, for our family, home was always kind of where mom was at, you know, and then dad came and went as he could, with his deployments and his trainings and all of that kind of thing. And so I think they felt safe and secure with, as long as I was there and our home was there. But it really, it was the community aspect, I think, that hit hardest for them.
So all kidding aside, you know, in my first like minute of introduction, you know, I had a master gunnery sergeant in the Marine Corps that was in our battalion who, you know, his view in the Marine Corps he grew up in and what he, you know, he didn't like E4s and below getting married. And he's like, your wife is not part of your seabag issue, Marine. In other words, he didn't want to have to deal with spousal issues, problems, or challenges with children. It's changed now. And I'm curious to know how, through your advocacy, the experience can be different for somebody now versus when you were in, Anna.
I think the biggest thing is just making sure we're having the conversations that spouses matter in the transition conversation. Spouses have to be part of that decision-making process. You know, one of my favorite stories to talk about is when I went through the TAP classes online. There was no space available. It was COVID. I wasn't invited. They told me I wasn't allowed to come. And so I did the online version of them. And I finished the financial thing and I went to my spouse and I said, did you create a 5-year budget when you went through your TAP class? And he said, yeah, if it said I did that. And I said, you created a 5-year budget and never asked me a single question about it? And he said, I was just checking boxes to try and get it all done. And that for me was such a moment of understanding.
Anna, come on. Come on. He didn't, Anna. He didn't. He admitted it too. I just checked the box, honey. I just checked the box again.
He said he created, he's like, listen, if it said I had to do it, I did it, but I was just checking the boxes. And for me, that was such a learning moment of what are we doing here? Like, this is supposed to be the paving the pathway into transition and understanding how to best move into the civilian world. And it's just checking boxes for the service member and the spouse isn't even considered. So how well, and then we're surprised that military families don't thrive after they leave active duty service, right? There's like this, why we give them what they need. But I do see that that is not the case. In my opinion, that is not necessarily the case. So
I come in.
Yeah.
I don't know much. But it seems like, Anna, that the theme here that you really probably lean into is this little thing called communication.
Absolutely.
Just seems that way. So communication is something we're going to hear at Military CreatorCon 2026. I'm dying to know, how did you get involved with Military CreatorCon? What's that story like?
Well, as part of my advocacy work, I work a lot with military spouses, organizations, and I run a podcast and I do workshops for them. And so there's a lot of this creative, I mean, I am a creative at heart. So a lot of what I do is talking to people, bringing them on, you know, showcasing what they do best. And I'm also a Gallup Strengths coach. And so I work on a one-on-one basis or in couples or teams even where we talk about, hey, what's inside you and how you bring that to the forefront and how that's going to help sustain what you want to do next. So when we're talking about creatives specifically, that's a big deal because when you are leaving the structured routine of military life and moving into maybe becoming an entrepreneur or doing something that's totally different than what you just spent however many years doing. There's this need of understanding yourself better, your environment that's going to work best for you, what you do truly bring to the table, and feeling confident about those things. And I think that a lot of what I do helps both military spouses and service members, but I mostly work with spouses on this at this point, but helps them understand, oh, my lived experience counts for something. Who I am is going to allow me to create a sustainable path forward in doing what I truly want to do, not just what's available because it's the first job that landed on my plate, or I can't even get a job because I have a 20-year, you know, career gap with so many holes in it that there's nobody's going to hire me and I'm in my late 40s, you know? Yeah. So we see these feelings of, I just, not wasted, because I don't want to say wasted. That's not the emotion I think most spouses feel about their time living that active duty military life. They don't feel like it's wasted, but it definitely just veered them from where they may have chosen to go otherwise. And I guess this is a good way for me to remind them, those that come to Military Creator Con, right, is to be able to say, hey, you have value, and that value is within you, and let me show you how you can harness it and kind of intentionally move it forward to build what you want to build. And in the creative world, that just excites me because that's what I love.
Well, speaking of love, I mean, James and Mara, you know, James got out and married Mara. She's a mill spouse when he got out of the Air Force. So, you know, she's supporting this. And I think it underscores the real power a military spouse can have to stabilize a family and help that veteran move forward in his career, while also, you know, their support for what you all as spouses are trying to do. It's coming up in a couple of weeks. Like, I can't believe it's almost here. Are you excited, Anna?
I am very excited. This is really kind of the first time I've been to a conference of this type. And so I'm really excited to meet some people and really see what's happening within the creative community. Of that military connected community. I've seen and heard about podcasts, but and different like artists and plays and theater and all that kind of stuff that kind of goes within that creative community. But I am really excited to do some one-on-one conversation and to be able to see what others are doing and showcase that for them. I think it's inspiring for people that might be feeling that moment of, I don't know if what I've spent my life doing has value right now. This is that moment where they can see, hey, be inspired. It does have value, and you can also build something beautiful out of it.
Those are powerful words because, yeah, you do get in that rut sometimes where you're just trying to get through life and keep building, and it doesn't seem to be going anywhere. And I'm really glad you were able to articulate that because I think that's a common feeling with a lot of us coming to MCC or otherwise.
Yeah.
So before we get to Military Creator Con, and again, folks, it's coming up quick and there's still time to get tickets. How can people connect with you and get an idea of who you are and what you do, Anna?
Well, the best way is going to be to find me on LinkedIn. I love LinkedIn connections. Yep. That's where I hang out most frequently and talk all things military spouse and transition and strengths and all that kind of conversation. Or you can come visit me at our website, www.milspousetransition.com. And that showcases kind of what we do for military spouses specifically as they're going through this transition timeframe.
So just last question here. Yeah. Now, let's just say that I come and work with you in some form or fashion. There's no like checkbox list for plans, is there?
Listen. Or is there? There are people out there that need those checkboxes, right? They need that list. So we do have those available. I actually created a transition timeframe guide for spouses. Like, here's what your service member is doing. Here's what you can be thinking about at that same timeframe. But I'll tell you what, Travis, the first four pages of that are different conversations that you have to have with your service member before you're transitioned out. Things that you need to be on the same page about. And so it really does come back to have the conversations, communicate with each other. But if you don't know the right questions, I've got them for you. That's where I can come in and help you out with that.
Well, Anna, I can't wait to learn more. It's been so nice talking with you now. I cannot wait to see your discussion period at MCC. Look, ladies and gentlemen, there is still time to get tickets. This is what you're going to miss if you're not there. So you've got to be there. And I want to thank you for your time this afternoon. And I cannot wait to see you.
Thank you, Travis. I appreciate it.
At militarycreatorcon.com.
Great XQ. Roger.